The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross himself, he went out to what is called the place of the Skull, in Hebrew Golgotha. And they crucified him with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus in the middle. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews." Now many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but say that he said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." And when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four shares, a share for each soldier. They also took his tunic, but the tunic was seamless, woven into one piece from top down. So they said to one another, "Let's not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it will be," in order that the passage of the scripture might be fulfilled that says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my vesture they cast lots." This is what the soldiers did. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her into his home. After this, aware that everything was now finished, in order that scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I thirst." There was a vessel filled with common wine, so they put a sponge and soaked in wine on a sprig of hyssop and put it up to his mouth. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he handed over the spirit. The Gospel of the Lord. Thought that it'd be fitting for us to, at this point, to reflect a little bit on Mary's role in the cross, and because this is an important part of the spirituality of Saint Louis Marie de Montfort, and is especially in the total consecration to Jesus through Mary, that he speaks about this, the true devotion. And what St. Louis Marie de Montfort sees and what he really understands is there is a special role that Mary plays in the cross. In this role that Mary plays in the cross, it begins at the moment of the incarnation. And this is why the Feast of the Annunciation for St. Louis Marie de Montfort is outside of the really high feast days. This is an important moment, and this is an important feast day, because in this moment of the incarnation, you have intimately linked the two mysteries of Jesus and of Mary. And so as we go to that moment where the angel Gabriel appears to Mary, And he greets her in the Greek, it's Kyrie Maria, Kekari Tolmeni, Hakurios Metesu, "Hail one filled with grace, the Lord is with you." And Mary's kind of thinking to herself, it's like, "Who, me?" It's like, nobody else here. You know, my spiritual director told me this one time. I thought it was really funny. Like, most of the rest of us would be like, it's high time somebody finally noticed. But Mary, in her humility, she's like, am I really anybody special? And so as the angel explains things, you know, he says to her, you know, you've been chosen by God. And you'll become the mother of the Messiah, the one who will save his people from their sins. And Mary questions it. You know, how can this be? And I'm still a virgin. And it is thought in the Christian tradition that Mary, it's possible anyway, that Mary had already made a vow of virginity. And so she's asking the angel, when she's questioning, she's saying, is there something that God finds displeasing in this? But the angel is quick to clarify. He says, no. It'll be the Holy Spirit that overshadows you. And the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And what we must remember about Mary is that this decision is a free choice on her part. God is asking, not commanding. So how does Mary respond? She says, may it be done unto me according to your word. And when Mary says that, she embraces the totality of the incarnation and everything that it entails. And she takes that all on faith. She can't see. At least I don't think that she can. There's no way to know, but I don't think that she could see what it all meant. She just knew in this moment God was asking her. And as Mary always had, because of her sinless origin, Mary always said yes to God. May it be done unto me according to your word. Mary embraces the will of God. And because of the love that is within her heart, she conceives, as Pope John Paul II says, she conceives in her heart and then in her womb the eternal word. That just as Jesus breathes forth and comes forth from the love of God, and he is the word spoken by God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When Mary speaks forth and breathes forth those words, as the Father does in eternity of begetting the Son, the Son is conceived in time through her word, through her yes, by the power of the Holy Spirit. What an amazing reality. Again, embracing the whole totality of the life of Jesus Christ, Mary, in essence, is saying yes to the offer of salvation. For anyone who would receive it, because none of us is capable of giving that complete yes to God. But she was conceived without sin for this moment, to say yes. And because of that yes, we all have the opportunity open for us. Mary giving her yes to God, saying yes to him always. It doesn't stop there with the moment of the incarnation. Mary's yes to God continued throughout her whole life. And when the hour of Jesus arrived, for him to encounter death, to meet death, who is there with him? You know, the other day I showed my kids a little bit of a clip from The Passion of the Christ, and I think that that's one of the things that Mel Gibson did when he made that movie so artfully, was to show this beautiful relationship that Jesus had with Mary. Mary being his mother is... Now, I've never been a mother, but from what I hear, it's an awesome experience. It's a beautiful experience. And the connection that you have with your children is unique. And Mary had that connection with Jesus, even more so because of who her son is and her capacity for holiness. And so when Jesus entered into his agony, when he's being scourged and when he was being beaten savagely, Mary's will never wavered. Her consent was the same as it was in the beginning. May it be done unto me according to your word. Imagine what had to be going through her heart at that time, though. Have you ever seen someone that you love really suffer? And there was nothing that you could do to take away the pain, to take away the suffering. Mary gave her consent and gave her yes. To the offering and to the immolation of her son. And this is what, in that darkness, again, how could she understand? How could she know? She didn't. Standing by the cross, she had to be the woman of faith. Why else would she have been there? Not of understanding, but by pure faith in the darkness, in the immensity of it all. Not seeing, not understanding. So in those moments, what did she do? She drew close to Jesus. Standing at the foot of the cross, why was she there? Because as Jesus was stretched out upon the cross, and as he was hanging there, suspended, held on the cross, not by nails, but by love, because only love could keep him there, bearing the full weight and the full burden of our sins, confessing every dirty, filthy sin that we've ever committed to the Father as His own. Mary took her place at the foot of the cross because that is where Jesus could see her. His vision undoubtedly dimmed, his face swollen from the beating. Blood running in his eyes. But the last image last person that he saw. Not the soldiers, not the angry crowd. But the beautiful face of his blessed mother. And I'm sure that it provided him comfort, but it also provided him agony as well, knowing that he was the cause, in a certain sense. But knowing that, through her intercession, souls would be open to his grace and to his love. And so Jesus says to his beloved disciple, who's not just simply St. John, but really to each one of us, because each one of us is beloved in his sight. We are loved by him with an everlasting love, with an unending love. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Not only does he give us the gift of our salvation, the gift of redemption, the gift of our Father in heaven, he gives us everything on the cross because he even gives us his mother. What more could he give that he has not given us? So Mary is my mother. She is your mother. And when we struggle with the cross, and when we encounter the cross, she knows. She is the sorrowful mother. She is the suffering one. She knows what it's like to be crucified, because even though she physically wasn't, she felt every one of those nails. She felt every lash of the whip. She felt the crown of thorns. That's what holiness does. It gives you an empathy. Compassion. Compassion means to suffer with. She knows our pain. She knows our suffering. And she knows that we are her children. And so she's able to lift us up to Jesus so that he may kiss us from the cross. And so that we can console his sorrowing heart, his wounded heart, his sacred heart. To be with him in his suffering, just as she was. It's that beautiful prayer. O most sacred heart of Jesus, make my heart like unto thine. A heart that is like unto Jesus is one that embraces the cross. It embraces that suffering and death. And Mary is there enabling us to be with Jesus. She is the key. Because she is there at the foot of the cross. There's a priest for the Mary of the Immaculate. The Marians of the Immaculate in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Father Don Calloway, that's it, thank you. And he has a beautiful story of his conversion. And he was reading a book on, his mom had a book on, he was into all kinds of bad things. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, I mean, just living a completely hedonistic and pagan lifestyle on the quick road to destruction, both in this life and the next. I won't tell you the whole story because it would take too long, but he gets to a certain point in his life where, you know, drugs are ruling his life and ruining his life, and he's at home one night, and his buddies are calling him out to go partying. He says, no, I got to stay home. And he just had the sense that he was waiting for something. He didn't know if he was going to die or what it was going to be, but he had a sense that he should be there. And so he's waiting and waiting and waiting. Nothing's happening, and it doesn't. So he goes out in the hallway, and there's a bookshelf, and on that book there's a book on Medjugorje. And he had no idea what it was, and he saw these children and they were praying to the, it said they were children praying to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and they had this look on their face, this serenity, this peace that he had never ever seen. And as he reads the book, it has all these big words and these things like Eucharist and communion and all these other things that he has no idea what they mean. And he reads it It's a lot of pictures in it, but he reads it cover to cover in a single night. He's like, Blessed Virgin Mary. He's like, Blessed? Who's a virgin? And Mary? No idea. And he has this desire then to pray. And he said it felt like he was just coming out of his body or something like that. Yeah, I mean, he has this mystical experience of where he thinks he's going to die, and he doesn't know what to do. And finally, the only thing that he can think to call out is the most holy name, Mary. And as he comes back to his senses, said, I was changed. And he went in his room and he tore down all of his rock and roll posters and everything else and all this garbage, and he hauled it out to the curb, and he goes up to his mom. And he says, Mom, I need to go talk. It's like, what? Like, Mom, I need to go talk to it. It's like, honey, I can't understand what you're saying. Mom, I need to go talk to a priest. His mom was like, whoa! And he wasn't raised as a Catholic. He didn't have any. His parents had converted later on, and after he had gotten into drugs. And so they call around to some of the parishes, and mom's like, strike while the iron's hot. You know, nobody was around or available to talk to. Finally, they got a hold of the priest on the military base, and he said he could see him. And he just said, on the inside, I just felt such joy. It was amazing. I've never felt anything like that in my life. I just felt so free. So he drove onto the military base and he parked the car, and as he's running, his long hair is flowing behind him, and the officers are, you know, who's this long-haired hippie freak, you know, that's running through the base. And he goes up to the chaplain and starts talking, and it's just like, wow. It all comes out. And the priest is like, whoa. It's like, well, I got mass here in a few minutes. He's like, mass, what's that? And so just come into the church, sit in the back, and we'll talk a little bit afterwards. He said, there were these ladies in the front. They were Filipino women, and they were doing this chanting thing before mass. That was amazing. They just like kept saying the same thing over and over and over again. And then the priest who had gone into some room, he comes back out and he's dressed up and he's like, ooh, hey, great, a show. And then all the people, they stand up and they sit down at the exact same time and they mouth the exact same words. And he's like, are they telepathic or something like that? How do they know what they're going to say? And it was the strangest thing that he had ever seen. But he was drawn to it. Then came the moment of the consecration where the priest took the bread and he said, this is my body. And he takes the chalice and he says, this is the cup of my blood.
And in that moment he said, I knew that it was Jesus. And I fell to my knees and I worshiped God. And the only thing that I could think of was how unworthy I was. How much my heart wanted him, but I knew that I couldn't have him. So after the Mass, the priest comes up and starts talking with him a little bit, and he's very insistent. He says, that was Jesus. Tell me that was Jesus. I know it was. The priest is like, how do you know that? And that began his whole process of healing. All of his sexual sins and the healing of all of the years of drug use and the healing of his mind, of his body, of his soul. He became a priest. So you see that this is what De Montfort is talking about, that Mary leads us to Jesus. The woman of sorrow at the foot of the cross is there for us. She knows what we're going through. And with her help, we are reborn. She, as our mother, gave birth to us on the cross. We have been won, we have been bought at a price. And Mary is there with us at the cross. And so, my friends of the cross, Mary is the key to offering in union with Jesus. Because when we consecrate everything to her and to her Immaculate Heart, we bring it into the dominion of the kingdom of God, and we protect it from the kingdom of the world and of Satan and of darkness. That willful act of consecration, I give everything to you. I am all yours, my queen and my mother, and all that I have is yours. Even to the value of all of my good actions, I give it all to you. I place it at your feet. Do with me as your servant as you will. The self-effacing and the self-abnegation. Is perfected in that total consecration, because not only do we renounce sin and evil and Satan and all his empty works and all his empty promises and all of the ways in which he afflicts our lives, we renounce it all. If you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. It's the perfect form of self-denial. Because we're not holding anything back for ourselves. What could be more complete than giving it all to her? As it was in the beginning, at the incarnation, as it was at the end, at the cross, Mary stands there with us, offering Jesus. Mary offers Jesus to the world. Mary offers Jesus to us. And she brings us to him through her maternal love and mediation. We walk by way of the cross. And if we walk by the way of the cross, we walk by the way of Mary. She is our greatest intercessor because she is our mother. And she loves us. What an incredible gift that Jesus has left for us, and what a beautiful realization that we have in our salvation. Because she is with us, we don't have to be afraid. She will take care of us on our way to Calvary. And she will bring us to Jesus.